Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. Is now in session.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm, episode number 309. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the Vice President of Strategy for Reflexive Media. How's your week going, Bao?
It's going a lot faster than I expected. Lots of stuff going on. I mean, I was buried deep in analysis when you texted me and said, hey, you going to do the show? I'm like, oh, crap. Yeah, I guess I need to.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't seem to have time for anything these days. I have to make time for this, so.
Yeah. Excuse me. Your week wouldn't be complete without talking with me.
Yeah, exactly. Got to get my dose of humility. although I mostly get that from my wife and my kids too.
I was going to say, aren't you married?
yes. So we got quite a bit on the show today, but I think it, lots of lists and stuff. So they always take a lot more time. So let's just start running with it here. The first bit here is, again, a lot of, stories that have come out of PubCon. I think that'll continue maybe for another week, but certainly this week.
Yep.
Google released answered the question about why Google featured snippets appear to be volatile. Their rankings are, you know, sometimes they show up, sometimes they don't. And out of this great article for Jennifer Slegg on the SEM post, I just highlighted something here. So I'll just read it back to you. Now, remember, Gary Eish is the one who responded to this. And I'll just try and correct any wording as I go here. It was verbatim. Featured snippets. Well, the feature is under active development. And I think it's a very volatile feature right now because it's under active development. People are coming up with new ideas on how to improve the featured snippets. The featured snippets algorithms and the feature, and the featured snippet algorithms. So even if you get this featured snippet today, you might lose it in 24 hours because we changed something slightly in how we want to trigger featured snippets or what conditions a result has to satisfy to get the snippet or to be featured. But then 24 hours later, you might get it back. Like, that just sounds like Google to me.
Yes. What's new? Is there something new here?
They had to scare up some insights, but
once you explain to some of our listeners, the 101 folks, what a featured snippet is and why it makes a difference.
Okay, so featured snippets, they often show up in, well, they show up in the search rankings and organic. So what you were looking at when you're doing a standard search and local isn't appearing, you'll see some snippets, a component of a of the search result appearing. So one result might show up and it'll have some words under it for links to specific pages on their site. I can't remember if it's a longer description. Anyway, there's just a little more to it. It certainly makes you'd probably take up the equivalent of two rankings when you get a nice snippet. So yeah. It's a very, very sought after result.
And I've seen some take up even more than that.
True. Yeah, some of them even have search fields in them. Those are usually for big brands, though, or something where you're really doing a search for a brand, where they know for sure you're looking for that. But obviously very sought after. No one wants to lose something like that. So when it's all over the map, I'm sure SEO, especially the enterprise companies, get a few words in their ear. What's going on? Why did I lose it? Those hyper clients who are always paying attention to every single result. We've seen them all. But it's under active development and things switch all the time. But again, that's just Google. It's always going to do that. I've never told a client they're going to keep a ranking forever. Things move all over the place. In fact, moving between first place and third place and even fifth place is pretty common, even if you have the ultimate authority.
And that's a good thing. People don't understand that's a really good thing, because if the SERPs weren't changing, if they weren't moving, you'd never have a chance to move up into a position you want to be into. If they were pretty static, you'd be stuck.
Exactly. Yeah, and also it adds freshness and variety to search results. Wikipedia still shows up often, but it's not as number one all the time. Remember, it was always number one, practically.
It was funny because I was fighting Wikipedia earlier today, so yeah, and it was number one for the term that I was number two for, and I'm like, damn it. Damn you,
so
Wikipedia.
So it still happens, but yes. It is less so. They move it down and allow other ones to get in there. It's not necessarily purposeful, but it's nice to see that there's some variety. All right. One thing I want to add is just, one thing that the SE Roundtable is really good at, very short, is, just noting any potential algorithmic update. In this case, there are some mutterings of a mid-November update on the Webmaster forums, and he wanted to make note of that and let everyone know that, although there's no insight really at this point, to keep an eye on things. And if you find anything that you want to report, just let him know. Be happy to post it.
Doesn't that kind of go back to the last item? Everything in search is volatile. So these mid-November update is because they're changing things. They do it all the time. And that's why I love this industry, because it's always changing. There's always stuff to learn, always stuff to keep on top of. But, it's keeping up with it can be a pain. And Barry does a good job, but it's always changing. Everything is.
Yeah, I think these algorithmic update notations will go the way of the dodo at some point. I mean, they're just kind of getting pointless. Because usually the only thing Google will say is, yep, we're testing.
that's the only response they get. Things are changing.
However, I'm sure there are many industries, especially the affiliate industries, ones that are using a little more nefarious techniques, are absolutely salivating over every change. And trying to keep on top of them because they have no choice. There always will be a need for that kind of news, I guess.
What did we used to call them? Like 6-7 years ago, there was a name for people that just watched the rankings and the algorithms. That was their lifeblood. We had a name for it. I can't remember what it was.
I can't either.
It was good. I'll try to remember and put it on the community. But there
all the change keeps our minds fresh and always learning. At the same time, it ages us.
Yes, it does.
So there's definitely a double-edged sword to it. So it's funny, I came across this article on Search Engine Land, and I thought, oh, this is kind of interesting. And they do what they absolutely need to know what's sponsored content, but I definitely didn't notice it until I got further in. I was like, wait a second, the links dropped to products here. Then I noticed that it was, in fact, a sponsored piece from Link Assistant. Anyways, just the same, they had some good points here. The article is 8 game-changing SEO trends that will dominate 2018.
Are we really getting into the predictions for 2018 already? It's not even Thanksgiving.
See, it's already past Thanksgiving for Canadians. So there you go.
Oh, all right. So, okay. We'll do it for you Canadians.
Hey, as soon as the stores start seeing Christmas stuff, these guys are already pumping the stuff.
I was at the grocery store, and I know we're digressing here, but I was at the grocery store on Halloween Day. Halloween Day. And they had already replaced the little snack cakes with the Halloween versions with the Christmas versions on Halloween Day. I was like, this is just nuts.
They're going to push it as far as they can. I saw them in mid-October. Home Depot had a whole aisle of Christmas stuff they were already putting in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's crazy.
It's getting a little ridiculous.
The Halloween candy was out before Easter.
That would be bad.
Yeah.
The only thing I do appreciate is that we're getting a little more time to have Halloween, like kind of like the 1st of October, people start putting their Halloween stuff out. I'm seeing that more here anyway.
Yeah, there's a lot of scary stuff going on down here. So Halloween's just every day for us.
Now, we've had complaints about being political, so we'll stop at that.
Who was being political? You turned it into something political. I didn't.
That's true. That is true. I did hint at that, didn't I? All right, bad me. So anyway, these eight game-changing SEO trends. So I'll just list them off here first. We'll take one at a time. So the rise of the SERP features. So as we know, a search engine result pages is what SERP stands for. When we're looking at result pages, we're seeing a lot more variety. There's no longer just a list of blue links. That hasn't been the case for many years since universal search kicked in. However, we are, you know, we're going to be seeing some more variety. Gary Eish, and this actually ties into the second one, which is structured data, noted that Google is going to be looking at structured data even more. That's schema markup, and they're going to be looking at it and trying to glean more information and more relevance and context from content. So there is likely to be more incidences of SERP features. I do believe that. Number three, survival of the fastest. Absolutely. So this is all about page speed. And that I cannot say enough about. We've got a couple of clients who are always working hard on trying to improve their page speed. It's painful, though, when you're dealing with a site that is just not conducive to that. And I don't get it. Why are designers putting that out? I just don't get it.
Somebody, I saw an article the other day, or maybe it was a Facebook post, someone was talking about this, and someone had just paid $20,000 for a website, and they did a page speed test, and they were 0 out of 100.
Yeah, that was from the post that I put on there.
Was that yours?
It
was
just someone mentioned it, yeah. There was one of the responses. My thing was, I got an excuse. I was doing some research on some vendors for web design. Outsourcing offshore, and when I did that, I said, well, you know, they came back with me saying, hey, we'd love to help and this and this, and they gave me kind of a, I said, well, what about your page speed? You know, it doesn't look good. I looked at all the different ones, they don't go. He says, and this is a quote, the majority of our clients don't, I'm trying to correct their English here, don't request to improve their website speed, although we are aware that it's necessary for users' usability.
Yeah, that's just nuts.
That's horrible. We know it's important, but if they don't ask for it, we're not doing it. That's pretty much what they're saying here. Anyway, I'm seeing that a lot. this is a brand new site one of my clients has that beautiful, absolutely gorgeous, but atrocious download speeds. Atrocious. It's just we're getting a problem with not getting results for them. We're getting an earful. And it's because the web page speed is a problem. And yes, we're trying to fix it for them, but
And it'll probably only get worse next year when the mobile first index kicks in.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. Probably later on.
It is nice to hear, though. I have to find where they wrote this, but someone at Google, might have been Gary or John, said they are going to try to, for sites that are not ready for the mobile first index, they're not going to put them in it until they're ready. So I don't know how that's going to work, because that means they're going to have two indexes rolling, and they said they weren't going to do that, but we'll see. There'll probably be a grace period.
Yeah. There's a certain point where grace periods have got to run out. I mean, they've been giving quite a bit of grace right now.
Yeah, they've been talking about this for a long time, so.
It's nice to see, though. It's nice to see they are caring a little bit about ensuring people do respond and get updated. The next one is Relevance 2.0. Now, this one I don't remember, probably because it's so, let's see here, Relevance 2.0.
That sounds like a link bait kind of thing, personally.
Sure does. Oh, here it says, with RankBrain, Google may further analyze the best performing search results, according to Google's user satisfaction metrics, and look for similarities between them. These shared features, such as usage of certain terms, may become query-specific ranking signals for the given search term.
Isn't that already happening?
Yeah.
Isn't that what the basis of search is?
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
Ooh. They brought something up here. We got to bring David on.
All right.
It says, quote unquote, there are a number of ways Google assesses content quality, one of them being latent semantic indexing.
Oh, Jesus. All right.
David, have a field day with that one.
I did. So listeners know, probably after our break, I put up together my own list, because I read this list and I thought maybe one out of these eight things are new and game changing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. These aren't, I guess they did say game changing, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
SEO trends that are kind of already on the roll. But
yeah,
anyway, yeah, like the next one is voice search is the real deal. That's fair. That's a bit of a game change that's come out this last year. It's been out for a little while, but it's more so now. People are getting a lot of voice-based assistance in their homes now. They're being added to TVs, sometimes through firmware updates even. That happened to my Sony. They just added Google Assistant to it.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a lot happening, and the voice search is going to be really big this coming year. Even the article mentions that China, or actually that's another thing I was looking at here, an interview with Dwayne Forrester we'll talk about next after a break, but it talks about that too, how China's jumping into the game big time and is going to probably be flooding us with cheaper options that are still Assistant branded.
Oh, fine.
Yeah, it's the way it works. Mobile's getting bigger. No shocker there. Everyone who's listened to the show knows by now that mobile is everything, the future here.
Mobile is close to peaking, I think. It's been getting bigger for like 3 years now. It's getting close to peaking. I mean, most sites that I look at are between 60 and 80% mobile traffic. You're not going to get much more than that.
Not for a while. Hopefully never, but because I like my desktop, but yeah. Next one is linkless backlinks. That's nothing new. That's citations, essentially. Citations.
Well, there's actually another way to do linkless backlinks, and I talked to Miley Oye before she left Google about this a couple of years ago, and it's basically tied to canonicals. So you can use canonicals to do linkless authority transfer.
Interesting. Yeah. I'll have to explain that better. That's definitely a not 101. Topic.
No, not at all.
The next one here is an increasingly personalized search engine result page. So that's already on the roll. We already know that what we see in search results are very personalized. Well, that's going to continue and get stronger. Big deal. We know that.
It seems like they were reaching for that one.
Well, you got at number 8 is always the hardest to get.
Yeah, I can only get to 6. So
they couldn't stop at 7. That just doesn't sound right. Okay, before we get to John's list, which he surprised me with, so I didn't have time to write something, and we got to get this darn show done. So he'll do his, and I'll do mine next week. But let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. TopSEOs send you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let TopSEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com.
WebmasterRadio.fm, the addiction that's good for you.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the Vice President of Strategy for Reflexive Media, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. That title of yours is hard to say quickly. I would not want to say it any faster than I'm saying it.
Sorry.
Much like the other one. It was way easier to say it.
Anyway. Maybe someday I'll get rid of the vice.
Yeah, exactly. Just tell them you need to do that.
Yeah.
All right.
So like I said before the break, you know, I looked at this list that they put out, this sponsored content list, and most of that stuff to me seemed like it's been around for a couple of years. It's not really game changing. If you've been paying attention, you should already be working on most of this stuff. The voice search thing is really the only one that I think has really got a long way to go, and it's going to have a bigger impact on what we do moving forward. But most of the rest of it, I thought, that's most of that's old hat. So I said, okay, what are some things I can think of that might be considered game changing for us as SEOs? First one I came up with is, I really think we've matured as an industry to the point where we're going to start being expected to be able to show some return on investment for clients, specifically tied to ROI and SEO. I think that's happening more and more, and it's going to become the norm before too long. I don't know if 2018 is when it's going to happen, but I think we're going to start seeing the ramp up to that. People are going to be expecting it. Clients are going to be expecting it. Moving forward. Again, this comes from my perspective at a more enterprise level. The small businesses still might not be to that point, but as soon as one of these large players in the small business SEO starts tying things to ROI, then everybody's going to have to, even the small boutique shops. Mm-hmm. You agree, Ross? You think that's off base, or do you?
No, I agree. I think probably the hardest part with small business, at least in my case, is because we already do try and focus on ROI and creating that connection, is the data collection at the small business end. Downright awful most of the time. So it's, what can you do with data if you don't have anything to connect it to?
Yep, I don't disagree. And just for the listeners that may be unfamiliar with the ROI term, it's return on investment. And what that means is, If a client at the small business level is paying $1,000 a month for SEO, they're going to want the SEO firm to show them that they provided $1,000 plus worth of value for the money. So they want to see some kind of return on that investment they put into SEO. And we're a mature enough industry now that I think it's going to start becoming the norm really soon. Number two is answer box optimization. And I put this in there specifically because that's where the voice search is really tied into this. And right now in 2018, that's where we can have the most impact as SEOs tied to voice search, is the answer box optimization. The more we can work on understanding how that works and how to get our clients in those places, the better they're going to do in voice search.
So answer box, what do you mean by that? Are you talking about like answer box in terms of the hardware? They're called answer boxes?
No, the answer box in the search results.
Okay, so you're talking about the suggested results Google suggest? No.
They're called answer boxes. So if you type in a question in Google, one that I was working on recently is how to pave your driveway, right? There is a answer to that question that comes up in the search results with a snippet of the answer and a link to the website that provides the full answer. Right. Okay. Are going to be, that's where the voice search really has an impact, in my opinion, because people will ask their Google assistant a question and they need to get an answer. Google has to get that answer from somewhere, and hopefully it's, from your brand.
Yeah. There's more on that coming up in the next segment that I've got on voice search.
So, all right. No, good. Talk about that. Okay. I think there's going to be a big push next year for non-traditional search platforms. Things like, not necessarily social search, like Facebook. Facebook search still sucks and always has such. But things like Travelocity search, Amazon search, things that we don't traditionally consider a search engine are going to start becoming more and more in the realm of the SEO space. They should be already, but I think it's going to be much more prevalent starting next year. People looking at those specifically for different business types, because those different platforms, well,
especially as Alexa becomes more ubiquitous in the home, Amazon search is, well, it's a lot. It's everything.
So I think that's going to be a big push next year. And kind of to tie back to the first one, I think we as an industry, we're dealing with a significant shift in our clients' knowledge and their expectations. And we have to deal with that as an industry to help meet those expectations and be able to speak to their specific knowledge. They're getting smarter and smarter about this stuff, and they have been for years. But the idea of just being able to go in and just tell somebody that this is what we need to do for you is not going to work much longer. I was thinking about this as I was driving this afternoon. We've thought a lot about sales as you know, you're selling yourself, you're selling your product, you're selling your services. But I put it in the perspective of actually what you're doing is you're interviewing. You're not selling yourself, you're interviewing with the client. And if you position it like, I'm here to provide you with what you need, you know, just like you would in an interview, that to me is going to be a shift away from selling and away from getting yourself hired, basically, because of these changes.
Cool.
What's number five? Oh, subjective versus factual content.
Oh.
I think this is, I don't know what's going to happen with this, but I think in 2018, we're going to have to start dealing with this as a factor when we create content for clients. There's going to be at some point a shift that I think will happen algorithmically between factual and subjective content at some point as well, but it's something we should be preparing for, and that's going to be a game changer, if you want to use that phrase. And then again, kind of tied back to that first one with the ROI, is how does SEO integrate into cross-channel attribution? So for this is a little above SEO 101 as well. This is more like marketing 203 or whatever. But basically, when someone goes to a search engine and they find your organic search result, they might not convert. They might come back later and click on a paid one. They might get an email from the same client because they are interested in this. They signed up for the email. They might see an advertisement somewhere. So there's all these different ways a client might come into the sales process, and they might hit multiple versions of those before they actually make a sale. And that's what's called. And so understanding which pieces of those were part of the whole process leading up to that conversion, whether it was email and PPC and SEO or the three, or maybe it was SEO, then PPC and display. There's all these different variations, and that's called cross-channel attribution. And I think that's becoming more of the norm on the higher end of the spectrum when we're talking about more sophisticated advertisers, and we're going to have to understand how that works and how we fit into that picture as SEOs.
Excellent. Okay. I'm just looking something up here, so hopefully I can mention it when we come back. But let's take a quick break, and we've got three more pieces of some great content and a little follow-up of what John just said.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Hi, I'm Montel Williams. Most of you know me as a talk show host, but I'm also an author, actor, single father of four, avid snowboarder, and I'm also a medical marijuana patient. Living with multiple sclerosis, I'm in pain every day. Medical marijuana is my last resort, and it helps me when all other drugs have failed. If you'd like more information about medical marijuana, you can contact the Marijuana Policy Project at mpp.org or call 1-877-JOIN-MPP.
There are over 70 million active podcast listeners in the U.S.
WebmasterRadio.fm reaches them all
with the largest global distribution of any online business-to-business podcast network. Through iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, we can target and place your message in front of those active listeners immediately. Now, your message can be delivered with less commitment and investment on over 20 hours of weekly original content
hosted by the most respected names in digital marketing.
Email sales@webmasterradio.fm today and get your message delivered now.
Webmasterradio.fm. Keep your headphones handy and the feed loaded. We never stop, do you?
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session. Only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. Hosted by John Carcutt, the Vice President of Strategy for Reflexive Media, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. So what I'm trying to find here, yeah, here it is an article I read on Marketing Land. I shared it with my staff. It's titled YouTube Location Extensions, In-Store Sales Measurement Now Available. And it's kind of amazing. Really what happens is you'll have store visit measurement will be available soon for YouTube campaigns. So essentially, if you go into a store, they're going to be able to connect the off-world to your online advertising. They'll even connect it with in-store sales measurement because they're connected now with credit card transactions through a large number of credit card agencies. So they're going to see that there was also a purchase that was driven by that offline visit. It's freaking amazing. Like, I mean, obviously there's a lot of guesswork involved in this. It's certainly got a high, I'm sure it's got a fairly high level of error rate, but it's way better than it ever had before.
Yeah. And there's been experiments about, you know, tying cookies to cell phones and using like small, what are those little computers that are about the size of
use a zap strap to tie it to, or what?
Yeah. What are the little small computers? the little computers that you can build are like in the hobby stores are about the size of a matchbook.
Raspberry Pis?
Raspberries. Right. I knew a guy that was working on an experiment using Raspberry Pis, connected to the door of a retail operations that would scan for the phone signals. Basically, they would tie the cookies to the person walking in the door because of their cell phone and be able to really tell part of that cross attribution that we were just talking about. Since the cookies cross attribution is based on cookies, you know, they could actually tie that into cash register activity as well. It was amazing what he was doing.
Jeez. Well, Facebook introduced offline sales measurement in 2013. So they're a little ahead of the curve. But this requires the advertiser send hashed transaction data back to Facebook for matching on the back end. Many, many advertisers won't have that know-how,
right?
From a small business perspective. But having this done, there's no work at their end. Obviously, again, I would say the error rate's pretty high. But I thought that was an interesting connection to what you were saying there about cross-channel attribution.
Yep.
I think a lot of our small business listeners will be kind of fascinated by that. I think anything that requires them not to have to make any work on their plate, yeah, is the best part, though.
When we get to the point where we can directly connect online activities to offline activities, I mean, reliably, it's going to be a game changer. Yeah. We keep using that phrase, but that's out of everything we've talked about so far this show, that'll be the biggest change of all.
Right. Well, and one of the ones that was certainly up there is voice search. And there was a great interview by Michelle Robbins. It's on Search Engine Land with Dwayne Forrester. And Dwayne's great. I recently had a phone call with him just out of the blue. It was just awesome. What a great down-to-earth guy. But anyway, he is the, what is he? Is he vice president? No, VP of Industry Insights at Yext. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what he's in this interview, they're talking about an ebook he put together about voice engagement. And one of the questions was, do you see any room for any other competitors to enter the voice arena? And I'll quote him here. I've highlighted certain components of this interview that I thought would be interesting to share. He says, there's a boom happening in China right now with dozens of new companies entering the smart speaker space. While most won't survive, it's inevitable we'll see new devices reach our shores next year, driving prices up and adoption up. And again, that's part of, unquote, that's part of what is going to drive a lot of this voice search and interest in it, and the power of Amazon and power of Google Assistant and how to leverage this and what you were talking about, the answer box.
Yep. Did he say driving prices up and usage up? Because I would think China would drive prices down.
No, driving prices down and adoption up.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Now, Michelle had a question. Is there anything holding back even greater adoption of voice-enabled devices? In this case, to abbreviate his answer, it said pretty much the biggest factor in voice adoption just remains time. And I think that's true. I mean, really, you just got to get that ubiquity built in to our world, and then it's going to be a whole lot different. Next question, how can marketers and search marketers in particular shift from content is king focus, I love you, Elena, I love that, focus to competitively prepare for the context is queen world and surface as the one primary voice result? So this was a bit of a read, but it was really interesting because what he talked about here is how there is a problem with some of the voice characters out there. Lack of word here. Anyway, you know, there's Google Home, there's Amazon Alexa, Apple Siri, Microsoft Cortana. Well, the latter two are failing in many regards. For Google Home and Amazon Alexa, they understand the difference between both questions and between both questions, one being who is Harry Potter and one being what is Harry Potter. In the case of Apple and Microsoft, they understand each question, but when it's an answer to what, but when there's an answer to who, all they do is display a Wikipedia entry.
See, I think there's another significant difference between those two and the other two, right?
What's that?
Siri and Cortana are designed to use work on mobile devices more than anywhere, where Google Assistant and Alexa are really being focused on the home. I know you can use Google Assistant on your mobile as well, but the fact that Siri and Cortana are geared towards mobile means that more often than not, you're not going to be using them in private. And I think voice search in public is still a problem with people. They just don't, they're not comfortable doing it. They're worried that people are think they're weird because they're talking to themselves or they're annoying other people in a closed space. I think in your home and the privacy of your home, voice search is going to be much more prevalent than in public. Just my opinion.
And I think that'll change. Apparently kids already, the younger generations are already doing more voice search. So
I can see that. I can definitely see that.
Obviously they're not doing anything personal, but
they shouldn't be. I'm not going to, we can't say they're not.
Yeah, we hope not, not
these
exactly known for their, yeah. Anyway, judgment necessarily, but yeah, it's, it was interesting to see that there is a nuance of voice search as noted here. And there's some work to be done. He did, however, say that there are some SEO best practices to recommend, and I'll quote him here. Number one is to adopt long-tail conversational phrase approach to targeting what to produce content around. Number two is to build out detailed answers to common and even uncommon questions related to your products and services. Number three is to use schema to mark up your content where appropriate. Number four is to clean up your own house. Be sure crawlers can find your content. Number five is make sure your site is mobile friendly. Not really an option these days, it says.
Yep.
And number six, make security a priority. Become more of a trust signal. And those are his six. To tie this up, what additional innovations in voice are coming into play? He says he expects to see more companies fielding visually enabled voice devices soon. We already see that in the Amazon show, and Google is bringing out one. It's been all over the web, hints and stuff. And I think there was even been a leak of a photo. I'm not sure, but it's coming. It's inevitable. So this is, when you're searching for that, gaudy Christmas sweater, well, you want to be able to see it. It's hard to do when you're just doing it by voice. That's a clear reasoning for it. Next is what kind of technology investments should marketers be making to address this new playing field? He says mobile friendly, being secure, marking up your content. Really, again, he says those are just so key. And buy the main voice-enabled devices in the market today and use them. Use them all day, every day. Just get some leverage out of them. Of course, he's a geek like us. He just wants to buy them. I know it.
Yeah, of course. I do want to go see his guitar collection, though.
Oh, no doubt. Oh, he keeps posting those pictures. Cool. Man alive. Well, there is more on here, but we're actually running out of time here.
I do want to say one more thing about voice search.
Yeah.
It's really good for practical jokes. So I got to tell a quick little story because this is hilarious. So I started playing World of Warcraft again just to kill some time. And I've played with the same group of people for a long time. And we get on this thing called TeamSpeak where we can talk to each other while we're playing. Well, I created a new character and I named my character Alexa. And every time they talk to me, their Alexa in their room goes off trying to answer the questions.
Of course, you just did that to everyone else, you bad man.
Yep. So it was hilarious.
I do like that. I like that a lot. All righty. Well, thank you for joining us today. On behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and John Carcutt, the Vice President of Strategy for Reflexive Media. I'll say it again. Thank you for joining us today.
You're getting it.
Yeah. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which are at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, every Monday on webmasterradio.fm.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.